Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And here we are, Wednesday, 11-9. It's 9-11 backwards. So here we are today, day after election. So business as usual today, of course. And we are going to be discussing, Neil, the soul and the ego. Versus the ego and the body, the ego and the soul versus the ego and the body, and taking your calls today for on-air readings. We have some callers in the queue. Welcome to the show, callers. We do ask that you keep your place in the queue, so because we take callers in the order they are received. Our call-in number 914-338-0164, and we do get to callers at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show begins, because we do our little instructional section first. We invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter and Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us here. We do send show announcements. I create events on Facebook, and you can RSVP to those events. Even if I don't send you an invitation, then stay on our list. I think Facebook limits the events to like 500 people per event. So I can't invite everybody on our friends list, but you can RSVP. So, the ego. We all have one.
And it's a really a fascinating topic because it concerns each and every one of us, the ego. Basically, the ego is the full expression of our being. It's not what we think inside deeply. It's not how we think of our morals and ethics. It's how we express ourselves. But it is a marriage between... the ego itself is a marriage between the id and the superego, insofar that it ultimately is the final expression of who we are. And so when you get into the body, the ego of the body, we're talking immediately on a sort of linear plane of who are we today? How do we express ourselves? How do we react and respond and interact and also proact towards our world, our environment, the people that we are connected to, and basically to ourselves.
Go ahead.
So the ego is the full expression of who we are as it results in our actions.
Okay.
It's the most active energy we've got.
The most active energy we've got. So in our lives, we our challenge on earth, I think, is to be able to express ourselves as individuals, but not weigh ourselves down with our ego so much that we forget about our spiritual development. So some of us have to really put our ego, our personal goals aside and merge with spirit if we want to transcend the planet.
Yeah, we get into the concept of spirit or soul, which we haven't approached yet, and we're just talking about the expression of our ego. There is no real line or balanced line. An ego is an ego. You're either a balanced ego, an unbalanced ego, an ego that only is concerned about the self, or an ego that is concerned about others. It's merely
right, because
the
you can be a humanitarian, but it can be an ego-based humanitarian. Not that that's necessarily bad. You can help
Well, the ego is comprised of it. The ego isn't just an ego. It's comprised of components of both the id and the superego. So the
right,
ego,
so there's the higher
itself,
self and the more primitive.
Well, there's
the
impulses, there's the moral ethics, there's the concerns. So to say that someone who is a great humanitarian or someone who just sits home and does what they want to do on their own level and they don't really interact with the world that much, there's no way to grade that ego. The grading of that ego is just, that's what the expression is. Now, the kind of limitation of that is that it's basically a linear ego. It's who we are. And when we express the ego on that level alone, the body level alone, it's we are here, we exist on the planet, and then we leave. It is where we are right now. We're not considering anything like the accumulation of past lives.
Or in karma.
Or karma. Or, I mean, karma can be considered the superego in terms of how we judge our actions in relationship to punishment or reward systems. But when we get into the idea of the ego itself, it's not really concerned with anything other than the journey we are on. And that is what it is.
The immediate journey.
Even if one believes in something in terms of the afterlife or a heaven or a hell, well, that can still be incorporated in the expression of the basic bodily ego, because that just gets into the realm of the beliefs of the superego, whether we believe in something in terms of reward or punishment or good and evil. The duality on a linear level can still encompass the current linear energy of an ego. But the thing about an ego is that it, on a linear level, on a body level, it doesn't take into account the cosmic journey that now the soul has gone on, because the body lives and dies. It's dust to dust. It's just the end. And we live and we die according to our lifetime. The ego of the soul, though, takes into a different storyline. It goes deeper into the element, where have I come from? Why are these things happening to me? What do I need to learn from these things? And what do I need to accept as actions of transcendence so that when I do leave, if I should come back, my ego will be involved in everything that I have learned so I don't have to repeat the lessons of past life transgressions. Now we're getting into a whole different concept, because the ego of the soul, and it's still the ego. A soul still has an ego because the soul is
still involved
in the
earth. Right.
So the ego of the soul will say, you know, it didn't start here and it doesn't end here. There's a bigger journey going on. So my full expression that I'm doing now is in process of something that has been and that will be.
Right. And it's in a motion towards a transcendent attitude, rather
yes.
than just, you know, what is happening in someone's life now in the present moment.
In the present moment. So the ego of the soul doesn't just take into account the experience of one lifetime. It takes into account the experience of all the lifetimes, and the ego of the soul will get in touch with the current consciousness, and there will be a conversation in terms of the history of where the individual has been in terms of the past.
Right. And so before a soul comes into the human body, the soul is well aware of the journey it's going to embark on in their next planetary adventure, so to speak. And the demands of the soul in terms of sacrificing maybe the ego of the body in that specific lifetime is going to be, you know, the soul is going to be cognizant of it before it comes down. But once on the planet, you know, we don't remember what we're supposed to remember, that our memories are kind of wiped.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge, because we can get easily caught up in that bodily journey. Sacrifice the, you know,
sure.
what we're supposed to
I
be
mean,
really
it's
doing.
It's fine. It's a neural view. I mean, the ego of the body might say, well, what comes around goes around. You know, there are consequences to maybe what we do. Maybe we can get away with it, whatever. The ego of the soul will say that there is karma from other past lives. And what we do, even if we get away with it, that karma will continue into the next life.
So we can get away with it. Some people can get away with things in their current incarnation, and they don't really see the effects of it until after. Some people have more instant karma.
That's more of a criteria of the ego of the body that, well, if you get away with it, you get away with it. The ego of the soul, people who are involved in the ego of the soul will say, no, you don't get away with it because somewhere in time you'll have to pay for it. Now, this isn't, karma just isn't here to punish us. Karma is here to be involved in our experience so that we can rise to the highest plane of our being, the highest plane of our consciousness, so that we can thereby reduce the karma of having to learn into, reduce that to the extent that now it's the karma of transcendent mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we are in the element that we really don't need to ask questions anymore. We are so involved in the enlightenment of the cosmos that we get it. We know how to respond because our brains have gone beyond the immediate body energy of the ego to the transcendent ego of the soul, so that we know about our past lives, we know about the astral realm, we know about the hall of records, the journeys, the places we're supposed to go, the conversations with angels, the way that we are supposed to live on the planet and yet stay above the planet at all given times, because the next journey is where we're going to receive the consequences of our actions in this lifetime. Now, that's the journey of the soul. And once that's completed, then we eliminate the ego, because now the spirit is not an ego.
Right. So once the soul is done with the earth, the soul releases the ego.
Then what happens is that the soul and the spirit join together without any further connection to the body. As long as the soul is connected to the body and all of those journeys, the soul is compromised. The soul is kind of caught in the middle. What's that song, Caught in the Middle?
Stuck in the Middle with You.
Stuck in the Middle with You. Well,
something like that.
Well, the attitude here is that the soul gets the most complicated situation. You know, have mercy on your soul, your soul, your soul. The soul is caught oftentimes between the body and the spirit. Once the journey of the body is done and it takes with it the ego of the body, now we have the soul and the spirit. And the ego doesn't really involve so much. It's not so much involved. The ego of the soul is only there because of the body.
Right.
And the consequences of past lives and future lives and things like that. But when you get into the soul, the ego is released. And now the soul and spirit start to merge.
Begin to merge. But it's not like immediate. You know, when you transcend the planet, you just don't go into spirit immediately. I mean, there's layers.
There's layers.
Soul must ascend.
There's more souls on the astral realm than there are spirits. Spirits transcend the astral realm.
Right.
That astral realm is provided for us so that we can have conversations with angels and guides. And it's a place for us to reside in between lifetimes. It's the main highway of where supernatural element and paranormal element exists.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get beyond that, once the soul starts to gravitate more towards spirit than body, then the astral realm itself
is transcendent,
dispenses.
Right.
And it goes into a higher realm beyond anything that we can even speak of, except in crude.
Right. The idea of oneness with spirit. I mean, the lack of separate soul.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So we do have a relationship with our ego. But we have to understand that our ego, karma, our ego is sort of impersonal. It has a sort of logical, predictable, rational space to it if we ascribe to the fact that our egos are also involved in our souls, and our souls are mostly wanting to be involved in spirit. In terms of transcendent form. Otherwise, we descend.
Right.
And we just keep coming back to the planet. So, again, it's the idea of taking total responsibility towards our actions on the planet, not just on a body ego level, but on a soul ego level, because that means that you have transcended to a higher plane of
consciousness. Right, and of course the test is being on the earth with all the distractions and demands of being on the planet.
Yes, and being steadfast, that the belief in the afterlife, or the belief in angels and guides, is not contingent on whether you're having a good day or not, or whether God
whether you got your audition or job.
Whether a prayer was answered or not.
Right.
It
faith is not contingent on whether your prayers are answered. It's totally separate. And there are people that think that's true. I mean,
no.
We honor that.
I consider prayer and faith as the same as saying, well, I have an automobile, but if I run out of gas, I'm going to turn my automobile in. Now, isn't that silly concept that
I'm going to sell my car because
it's
full tank?
Well, if the prayer to faith is the gasoline to the automobile. Just because you may run out of prayers, or just because your prayers fail you, doesn't mean that you turn your faith in. So you've got to remember that faith is a given. It's steadfast. If you lose your faith, it's more of a crime against
the spirit than
if you stop praying.
Right. Okay, Neil, let's take some callers and perhaps we can continue this on Friday. All right. 402 is our first. Everybody in the queue is getting a reading, so please do hold your place in line. Who is this? 402.
Hi, this is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. And where are you calling from, Dawn?
Nebraska.
Okay. And your birth date?
8/29/64.
I'm sorry. We didn't get the month. It just cut out.
8/29/64.
Okay, 19/29/36/9. Okay. Is that
19,
right?
19/29. No, it's 39/12.
Oh, what did I do? 8/9. Yeah, 39/12/3. I'm sorry, I'm adding badly.
We're just doing.
No, we're adding your
sorry.
That's okay. No, it's 8/29. You're a 39/12/3. Interesting that 11 was her past. I mean, it's 29, but she's got an 11. So it would have been a change in 2003. Did anything that you can express, Dawn, it was 2003, right?
Well,
did I have that up right?
Don't forget she's compound.
Well, no, but I'm asking her in 2000 because she's at 39 years old.
Oh, yeah.
She was in 2003. What happened then?
Oh, boy.
Anything? I'm sorry?
No idea. I don't know.
No idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ruminate about that while we go on. Your karmic number is 39. It has to be reduced twice. So it's 39/12, and your master number is 3. So your life goes in cycles of 3. It also goes in cycles of 12. From birth to death.
Well, the thing about it too, Dawn, is that you would have had a major change a year ago. There would have been changes that have occurred that now are concerning you. So if we go back to the last year, Dawn, and you look at your life just in the last year, it's going to be easier to calculate.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, what happened last year? What happened when I was 51? And how are those changes during that year affecting you now? That's what's most crucial, precluding your question. That's what you have to think about when you ask us the question that you're desiring to know an answer for.
Okay.
Go ahead with your question.
You guys were talking about past lives, and I was wondering if I had past lives, how many, and maybe just what they were, or any information at all.
Well, we can maybe go into one or two.
We talk about past lives, we're talking.
Or do you want to talk to now?
What were you saying?
Or would you rather just talk about my life present?
No,
life?
You can ask anything you want. So it's open. We can talk about past lives.
Dawn, when we discuss past lives, there's a number of factors that come in. The conduct of one's life, the roles we play, who we were. But I am getting something about. I'll tell you one little interesting little side note that I pick up about you. That may or may not apply to who you are today, but think about it. I do get a past life, and this is a little bit on the more of the trivial side, but I do get a past life with you where there was you were like a designer of clothes. or fashion or
seamstress. That makes sense.
Now, in this lifetime, is there any direct or remote connection to fashion, clothes,
oh,
design?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
Can you express why, or just kind of get a little bit of information on how that resonates with you?
Well, it's not so much now, but I used to read Vogue like it was, you know, I don't personally do fashion, but I adore it. And it's art to me, and I very much appreciate probably people of the arts more than any people on the earth. I used to read Vogue like a Bible. Anything to do or even emulate fashion, I just adore it. So that makes a lot of sense to me, but there's several things in my life like that.
You know, the
that's one
the
of
attitude
them.
Of what, Raymond?
I appreciate it.
The attitude of attire, of clothes.
Oh, Raymond's? Yeah, Raymond's?
Can take on a very fashionable statement, a creative statement. But in all actuality, when you get into the attitude of clothes and design and colors, we're also talking about what? About nature, about the way God clothes the world, about our animal friends and how their colors reflect something. And also about the attitude that clothes is an expression. And it can be a clothes, obviously, when you look at somebody clothed in a religious fashion and they're walking down the street, you could say, well, that's a priest, that's a bishop, that's a this, that's a rabbi.
So you're saying identifying.
Yeah. Clothes,
identify
it's a very fascinating thing. And you alluded to words like art, spirit, Bible. You come, Dawn, from, I think, a past life where you were really involved in the creative attire of religious or spiritual aspect. Now, even that could be tribal, because our tribal chiefs are clothed a certain way. In certain sects or religions, there's a certain clothal and energy form. And just in even in terms of, like, look at baseball teams, basketball teams, political colors. We all have these agendas of what fashion really means. Now, Dawn, in a past life, you were involved in that. Now, just because you're not immediately involved in that in this lifetime, the molecules of your brain, your consciousness, are still fresh with the idea that you lived in that area intensely. And you expressed yourself by that energy. And you probably loved it. Loved the life of it. So, but yeah, you had to come back, whatever compelled you to come back to the planet, but you didn't lose the love of fashion in your return.
That's awesome. So many things that you hit on there. I was just like, so enjoy. It was like, it's like I was drinking the best cup of coffee and eating the best chocolate in the world while you were talking. I was just like, oh, I love just basking in what you're saying. Everything just kind of flowed like a river. It was so nice. And
Dawn, you have a sort of appreciation of life and the things that life has to offer.
Yeah, she likes this. She's into aesthetics.
Yeah. But
which we are too.
You know, there was a poem, I forget, you know, I enjoyed the, was it E.E. Cummings? I enjoyed the pizzas you left in the refrigerator last night. They were delicious. And it's a really short poem. It's only about two lines long, but it captures the essence of ourselves in relation to the enjoyment of life and the simplicities of life. So, you know, you carry that. Don't lose that and express it throughout your lifetime.
Okay, Dawn, we thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Bye-bye. And Dawn can join us on Facebook and on Twitter and Blog Talk Radio also. Okay. Area code 443 is our next. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you? Who's this, please?
Kathy.
Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
With a C? We've spoken with you, have we not?
It's been a while.
What? Yeah, but we've spoken with you. I'm just trying to reference whether you've called or not because I recognize your voice. It's C with a C?
K-A-T-H-I-E.
Oh. You know what? We've never gotten that spelling from you, so I'm glad we asked. K-A-T-H-I-E. We don't have that in our past notes. And your birth date again, Kathy?
12/13/1953.
Okay, and what's going on today? What do you?
I wanted to know about my spiritual journey. Any information coming up I should know?
Well, you're a 25-7. She's 25-7, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, your master number is a 7. So good question coming from 7, because 7 is, the crown chakra, and it's the spiritual chakra. So, yeah.
Yeah, do you got anything you want to share?
8. I don't know. Have we asked you before what happened in 1978, Kathy?
I don't remember.
Nobody remembers today.
Well,
and your life goes nickers to 7. How old is she right now? How
62.
Old are you? 62?
She's 62. So, you're gonna make a change. You're coming up in a change in this December. Your master number 7 times 9. Now, here's the thing, Kathy. Let's look at this story for a minute. There's a past life you had that is connected to spirit. It was mentioned.
That's the 12-13.
It was mentioned. I heard in a speech today that Hillary Clinton, typically carries a Bible with her and underlines
passages
from the Bible. I think the potential vice president. Nominee, was it her biographer? Her biographer stated this, and the agenda of your, at least maybe in a past life in terms of spiritual journey, you had a deep concentration in biblical text. Now that doesn't mean you have to have it in this lifetime, but on the spirit journey of your life, past life, you were deeply involved in the linguistics of the written word, and that became part of the element of your energy. I think what happened in that realm was, and I don't know if it happened in this lifetime, because if it did, then one of your parents would have been very cold and rational, very calculated, and rather detached, but at the same time, maybe lacking emotion, but at the same time, emotional and fair. So I don't know if you had a parent like that, but there's
my
a certain...
mother.
Yeah, your mother, you see?
Father, she said father.
Oh, father?
Did you say father, Kathy?
No, my mother.
Oh, mother.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm
so your mother,
hearing.
Your mother was like that. Now, Kathy, the spiritual journey of your life is to move a little bit from the center of cold, detached, rational thinking to an emotional evaluation of spirit. Now, the emotional evaluation of spirit comes first with the idea of compassion and empathy and understanding and forgiveness and love. And those are the very things that need to water the energy. I mean, you know, we talk about, let's talk about the body. You can have a dry mouth or you can have saliva. Saliva is meant to eliminate the germs. Without saliva, we would be in deep trouble. And so what saliva does is it draws the dryness of the mouth into a different element where not only germs and such things are released, but it eliminates bad breath and all kinds of other things that go on. So saliva is very important. However, saliva can also be deadly. It can be toxic, especially if it's toxic from within. So your journey goes from a passage of cold, rational detachment to one of emotional compassion, empathy, love, understanding. Not only of yourself, will you forgive yourself of your own transgressions or inadequacies, but how you forgive and love others and how you involve yourself in the total community of mind, body, and spirit in terms of your surrounding environment and the expansiveness thereof. So those are the elements on your journey. As you go forward, even at the age of 62, as you approach 63, I just see you moving somewhere into a group energy, a group interaction. I don't know on what level yet. It may be very small and trivial, but it's still maybe a small tribal connection, but there's going to be a group interaction of some sort coming up that will be connected to your spirit form of thought.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. And, I think I finally strived what you're saying here, compassion, empathy, and even it was hard to forgive myself, and I'm finally there.
Well then,
I'm probably still working on it.
Well, that's great.
Maybe by 63, Kathy.
Yeah.
Complete that process.
What's going on, you see, too, what's going on, Kathy, is the journey that you have, because I picked that up, that there's an idea of self-forgiveness, which is very important. And, you know, celebrate that, because the idea of self-forgiveness is extremely important so that you can move forward without carrying that guilt factor with you. And before we go to the next caller, I want to share one last thing with you, a little secret. You're born in 53. The 19 before 53 is a 10. 10 plus 53 is 63. So in essence, when you reach 63, you're going to be actually self-actualizing on a higher plane. It's going to be a very great spiritual journey that will occur from the age of 63 on.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay, Kathy, thank you so much for your call.
Uh-huh.
All right, Kathy can join us on Facebook and on Twitter and here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay. 208 and then 501. That's the order.
Hi, my name is Megan, and I was just calling about anything you could tell me about my job situation.
We spoke with you last week, right, Megan? MEGAN.
Yes, I've called you a couple times before. It was
about
12486.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're wanting to know about what's your location? I don't know if Oregon.
I'm in Oregon, yes.
Okay, 456. Boy, 17.
And I do currently have a job, and I like it, and I'm then looking into another part-time job, and which sounds good, but I'm just a little, scared and having a hard time getting going on
and
it.
Wasn't there some stuff going on in your relationship with the boyfriend? And there was am I remembering that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, it ended and then recently restarted with everything just feeling completely new and, just almost like we're different people. So giving that another shot, but, that's what's kind of currently happening. And then I was also just looking into details about my job and just anything you get about it, I guess.
Okay.
Even,
she's coming
even
up
like how the atmosphere of it.
Isn't that right? She's 31-4?
Yeah, she's 31-4.
Then next year.
She's 29.
12-4 next year, right? She's going to be 31?
Yeah, she's got about a year.
Year left. So
about
you're kind
2 years.
How you're 30 now? Or you're going to be 30?
I will be 30. Mm-hmm.
You will be 30. So in a year from this birthday, you're going to be coming up on a major change when you turn 31. What type of job are you looking for, Megan?
Well, I do have my current job that I do like, which is at a hotel doing fine dining, serving in front desk. And then the one that I'm looking into is a Reiki practitioner position. And that's all set up to go. I just basically need clients. And even though it just seems like the right thing to do, I still have all this blocked energy around it because I'm just really nervous just getting going and everything.
So you're there's not really licensure, but you've gone through the training for Reiki. There's 3 levels, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've done all that. Go ahead.
Well, I have my second degree, and I've been practicing for about 8 years, and mostly on myself and with others, and then have been, mostly.
You haven't done the third. You haven't done the third yet. And then are you planning on being a Reiki practitioner in a self-employment situation or in a situation where you're actually working for a business, another established business?
I'm working for a business at a wellness center. And so it's all set to go. I just need to do my own advertising and, you know, just need to completely center myself and get, you know, everything squared away before I'm obviously working on other people. And that isn't a problem for me. It's easy for me to get in that state and make sure that I'm, you know,
couldn't you do both, a Reiki practitioner and hotel fine dining? I mean, I'm assuming that you can have fine dining at lunch, but a lot of the bulk of money in fine dining waiting job would be in the dinner hours. So can't you do both? Is it possible?
Yes, I can do both. I was just wondering what kind of energy, like on my current job that I have, not even really as you know, for money and a career, but just maybe the how things are going for me there, if you pick anything up, because sometimes that it can be a little bit challenging. It's most of the people that I work with are really great, and sometimes the energy there is also frustrating for me, but I was just kind of wondering any feedback you get on that, and I am planning to do both of the jobs. I'm just having
trying
trouble.
To see
what in Oregon is.
Well, where are you in Oregon? What part?
In Eastern Oregon.
Eastern, that's what you said last time. And you know what's funny before, Neil, I'm going to hand it over to you. But like our former caller was born on 12/13, and then Megan's born on 12/4. So the birthdays are really close.
That's my sister's birthday, too. That's funny.
What is?
12/13.
Ah, isn't that interesting?
What?
Her sister's born on 12/13.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, 13 is a 4. So, and 4, your fire number, which is the day of birth, if it's single digit or the last day in the double digit number, is actually your master number. What's your sister's year of birth? Just so we can have that.
Oh, let me see. I can't remember.
How old is she?
She's about, I don't know, mid 40s. She might have been born, like, 71 or so.
Okay, well, we don't know. So on to the answer here.
Well, Megan, did you say that...
I know she's 17 years older than I am, but anyway.
17. Okay, well, I'll figure that out. Go ahead, Neil.
Megan, did you say that you've been doing this Reiki practice for 8 years?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So your master number is 4. And you've gone through 2 cycles of doing this Reiki energy. Yeah. So you're starting your 3rd cycle in terms of the master number, which would go from, you will have gone done it from 8 years to 12 years. And you're starting your 3rd level.
And that's in her month, 12.
Yeah. And you're starting your 3rd level. So for the next 4 years, there's going to be a gradual climb of effectiveness in your role doing that and getting your own clients, et cetera, et cetera. Now, during that time, when you reach 31, there's going to be, within that 4-year time, when you reach 31, there's going to be another significant change too. So between now and the age of 31, you're slowly going to be building your clientele and the ability to ultimately reach over and make this your sole occupation, which I think will happen. Don't forget your first 3 numbers add up to 7, 4, 1, 2, 4, which means that, and incidentally, your fire number in your day 4 is the same as your master number 4. And 86, let's just say that adds up to 14. But aside from all those number systems that we're going through, what is most significant is that between now and, let's say more closely, between now and 31, you're going to be graduating towards a higher master level, getting your clients in, and then between 31 and where it will be, where you have been doing it for 12 years, 33, then you will be, you'll be released from anything but this kind of work. So that's what's coming up for you. What you just have to do is just balance the two factors of doing the working in the hospitality field or restaurant, and until you can finally let go of that and work solely in the in your more of your spiritual body work. So that's what I think is going to happen. You're probably going to experience something prior to 31. You're going to be experiencing something in October of 2017 that will feel like you're rising up higher. So even before 31, when you're 30, October of that year, you will be experiencing even further changes. So, and then what you will happen is you'll probably work someplace where there are four other teachers, and then you'll eventually find your own leadership with your own significant clients that you'll take with
like
you.
Like in her self-employment, and you mentioned balance. She needs to balance these two aspects, the hotel job and the Reiki job. And balance is balance chakra is number four, which is her master number. So balance
with,
is key.
And her fire number.
And her fire number.
But you got to realize you're still in a dense karmic element of time and space for your own individual life until the age of 31.
Okay.
And 31 equals 4. They're typically teachers. A lot of teachers there. And
okay,
I see you
well,
have a good
okay.
No.
So I have another question, and it involves a soul rebirth. And I was wondering your feedback on that because I had this experience in 2011 on November 13th, which also equals 4. But to me, it was none other than like a soul rebirth. And so, and every year that it comes around, I always say that's my soul rebirth day. And so I don't know what you know about that, but I felt like I had a complete transformation, and it was confirmed. Like, I remember walking into this cafe later on, and there was this book, and it was open right up to November 13th, you know, and I had this experience in water, and that was, is a water sign, being Scorpio and everything. I was wondering what your feedback is on that.
Well, first of all, the 13 is a 4 and 11, 13, but that 11, 13 itself is not a 4. It's actually a 6. And when you include, it's 2011 that you had this experience?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a 10. It's a 10-1, actually. But the 13, yes, it does relate to your inverted karmic number. We do have to move on to other callers. Do you want to say something
quick,
Neil?
Your soul rebirth, especially as you mentioned a cafe, which is related to some of your body work in terms of restaurant, cafes, mm-hmm. restaurants, you know, we actually allude in some form to, like, quote, the Last Supper, the attitude of eating of the body, mind, and soul. So when even in our casual dining experience, we have that kind of soul connection that we are always reminded, you know, people say grace before they eat in some respects, not all of us, but some of us do. So the idea of eating becomes a sort of soul experience, our connection to God, our feeding of the mind, body, and soul. So in that respect, yes, you have a soul rebirth experience because at that time, because it was a time when your soul made a change at that age in a previous past life.
And just real quick before we move on, Megan, that 11, 13, 6 is actually equal to the 1986, which is a 15, 6 when, in numerology. So that is the transcendent side of your birth date, and you're talking about a soul rebirth. So that date, you know, there's a code in there regarding
a
rebirth energy.
Well, it makes it hard to know what to look at when I'm looking at my astrology, if I should be looking up November.
Well, this is not the show to talk. I mean, astrology has its place, certainly, but we don't do astrology on the show, really. This is numerology. I mean,
it's all somewhat interconnected. We just don't have time. We've got other callers.
Yeah, we do have other
callers. So we've got to move on.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your feedback and everything. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and you're welcome to call back on another show. And I don't mean to, you know, astrology, you know, a lot of people do astrology. And of course, like you said, it has its place, but generally, you know, this is not, you know, we don't really.
Well, the alignment of the stars and the planets certainly does have some significance. But Chris and I, we go deeper into the element of the body, mind, and soul in terms of different kind of cosmic interpretation than just the alignment of planets and whatnot. There's something deeper, we believe, that is occurring in a soul's destiny and the ultimate journey towards transcendence.
Right, and that's expressed in numbers, actually.
In a code, different codes.
They're all sort of co-related.
The information you're seeking, Megan, cannot be captured in a 5-minute radio reading.
Right. I mean, soul's journey is much deeper, for sure. But she's welcome to call back, or she can call 562-596-7818. And we appreciate her call. And hopefully she'll join us on Facebook and Twitter if she hasn't already done so, and on Blog Talk Radio as well. Okay, 501, I think, is our last caller for the day. Who's this?
Hi, it's LaMorla.
Hi, LaMorla. How are you?
I'm good. And you all?
Good. Doing all right. LaMorla is LaMorla, and she's calling from Arkansas, right?
Arkansas. Yes, ma'am.
82371. Okay. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we got it. We got your birth date. And what's going on today, LaMorla?
I'm kind of almost piggybacking off the last caller. I wanted to talk about my job and see if you all pulled up anything for me in regards to changes, career change, promotion, or anything like that. I work with juvenile corrections and management. Been on my job 15 years, and it's state, so it's political, and it's ugly sometimes, and it's extremely toxic. And then I'm using the lighthouse and outspoken one here. And it really makes me sick now coming in, and I'm also working on an energy healing business on the side part-time.
You're working on what? Say that again, because it's hard to hear, a little bit hard to hear.
I'm sorry. Let me see if I can get a little louder. Here we go. Okay, so my Bluetooth. I'm an energy healer, so I do that part-time outside of work.
Okay, and she, like our former caller, is a 314.
Yeah.
Both talking about jobs.
Wow.
Yeah. Funny. People group together, definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So the job situation for LaMorla, what do you think?
I recall you were the one that we talked about the Titanic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, good memory. Yes.
The correction office, juvenile correction officer and management, there's not really a dramatically big leap between that and an energy healer, because in one respect, the juvenile correction officer is dealing with the body itself, the attitude of what are you doing right now? And how are we going to take care of you right now? And the management level, and you talk about all the toxins and the bureaucracy and the fact that it's hard to really connect to your subjects because you are a juvenile correction officer. Maybe there are people that you connect to that are really looking for a mentor or somebody of the heart and spirit. And so you may find in your experience that there are certain juvenile individuals that connect to you, and then others just kind of could care less about you. And then your fight with the bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah, I love the kids. Yeah, I love the kids, and I love my job, and it's really my passion. I love helping people and families. It's just a toxic environment.
Yeah. Well, you know, the toxic environment is a given. I mean, there isn't an element in our planet that didn't deal with some sort of toxic environment, whether it's Martin Luther King, Jesus Christ, Gandhi. We all have our world to deal with. And what happens quite often is that when we take on a spiritual quest, we're almost entitled to be confronted with toxic
negativity,
energy.
For sure.
It's almost an honor because you choose your sides. And that directed duality is positions you as a human being to activate the best parts of who you are in lieu of conflict, controversy, or anything that would otherwise be presented as a barrier. So when you're using this, and from this you don't go into a hibernation, but you go into an attitude of energy healing, what you're really saying to the universe is, despite the toxic energy, despite the controversy, despite the barriers and the disappointments and failures and frustration, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to be an energy healer. This is a great news to the universe.
Well,
so,
I tell you, I didn't look for it and I didn't seek it. It hit me and I had to find out what to do with it.
Then you were chosen. From God's chosen people to God's chosen individuals, you have been chosen to do this work. So no matter how you phrase it, Lamora, you are the essence of what captures the spiritual attitude of existence on a planetary in a planetary dimension of sorts. So continue with that work.
So the test of the spirit is she's going through a test of the spirit with this type of work, and
yes.
She's really being graded
her
activity level is and how she handles
it. But the fact that you've been, quote, chosen commands a certain flow and current of energy that you just take delight in it.
Yeah.
The plot development of your life in so far that you feel you've been chosen to do this is
right.
An election that is of great service.
It's high merit
to the
and I don't know how often you've said someone that calls our show is chosen. So that's a high level statement to make for sure. So hopefully that helps some more. We actually do have another caller. So keep in touch with us. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. 313 is our, now I think this is our final caller. 313, hello.
Hello, how are you? Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's this, please?
Sherelle.
Okay, Sherelle,
S-H-E-R-R-E-L-L.
Okay, well, I put one too many R's in there. I apologize, but I was close. Okay, Sherelle, where are you calling from?
Detroit.
Have we spoken with you before, Sherelle?
A long time ago.
Okay, yeah, I thought we did. Okay, and your birth date, I don't remember.
11/30/93.
Okay, 3, 4, 5. 15. And what's wrong with me?
27/9.
Okay. All right. What's your question, Sherelle?
Whatever that comes up.
Okay. Whatever comes up. Okay. Let's just do
whatever
a little math.
Here.
10, 11.
She's 22.
Yeah, I'm adding her. So she's 22. So she's 5 years away from her.
You know,
turnover.
Sherelle, your name,
yes.
When I hear your name, I think of the sea. I think of the ocean, maybe because of the shell illusion. But there is a strong, when we consider the ocean, we consider aspects of mysticism and the elements of female consciousness. So we even get into, and I know you're only 22, but, you know, that still accounts for an old soul basis of energy. Your master number is 9 by the karmic energy of 27, which means that you have about 5 years to go to experience a major change in your life.
She had a change at 18.
The position of this is somewhat interesting because, number one, whether you are or not, you should be on a university college. Are you college bound or are you
college graduate?
College graduate or anything after high school?
Yes, I'm currently in school.
You're what?
I'm currently in school at the moment.
You're in school at the moment.
Okay, so in being in school, have you had any part of social studies, political government, sociology, society, has that been of any connection to you, even if it's been a minor classroom?
I'm into nursing. That's the field I'm going into, nursing.
Nursing?
I want to go to a university. I go to a community college, but it's like
community college.
Okay. So you will be.
Yeah, but
going
I feel like I'm not getting nowhere.
You feel like you're getting nowhere at the community college. When did you start community college,
yeah.
Sherelle? What year?
Like 2 or 3 years ago, but I should have been graduated, but it's just been problems on and off, so.
That's okay. You're so young. I mean, first of all, so don't get that attitude.
But I
want
to finish,
you know,
before I get 30. I want to be able to finish up before 30.
That's,
I want to be
good.
30, still trying to figure out my life and what I want to do.
That's a good goal, but don't let, you know, the fact that you didn't, you know, go right into college at 17, you know,
well, you
deflate
know,
you.
There's a certain delay factor here that's significant because
mm-hmm.
I feel that as you move forward, you may not be thinking this now, but as you move forward and
mm-hmm.
you said nursing,
yes.
you will be going to university. Now you will also be involved. Now listen to me closely, not only as an active nurse, but in the policy of nursing. So in other words, the standards, the rules, the settings, the bureaucratic levels of nursing, how things are implemented in the community, how nursing is involved with the underprivileged. You're going to, your journey, Sherelle, is to activate the consciousness, if you will, of nursing in terms of family unit, the structure of society in terms of that. So you're just not going to be an individual nurse dealing with individual
mm-hmm.
cases. But I think you're going to graduate more towards the aspect of being involved in the, if you will, government aspect of nursing. As it implies service to the community. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yeah,
it does. It does. Well, you know, what you also need to do, and I think it's going to be very important, take a public speaking class.
I've always been interested into something like that. I thought about
yeah.
that a couple of times.
Well, you need to uplift your voice, and you need to uplift the immediacy of thought to tongue. and I'm saying this as a compliment to you because I'm feeling that you're getting through a lack of, you're going through an energy field of ego where you don't feel as confident as you should feel. So,
yeah,
and you're stuck somewhat because of karma.
Yeah, the 3-2.
Yeah.
11-3. That's
take
a broken
public,
five.
Take a public speaking course and activate your sense of high self-esteem in the vocal
mm-hmm.
language department. You're going to need it. But it will be important.
Okay, Sherelle. Well, hopefully that helps.
Okay.
We're at like the 30-second mark here. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, Sherelle. And
have a good day.
You too. We are back on the air at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Oh, no, 9 a.m. Pacific. I need to press the rewind button here. 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern next week, this week, Friday. I'm so tired. I didn't get much sleep last night, to be honest. So I'm stumbling a little bit over. But our regular listeners do know that we're on the air on Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. We hope you join us then. Thanks to our callers and listeners. Bye-bye.